news. Media streaming giant Netflix announced its new payment plan this week, which offers users the option to just browse endlessly without watching any videos. According to CEO Reed Hastings, quote, "For just $5 a month, we're giving customers affordable access to Netflix's most popular function, scrolling through our robust library of titles and posters without ever deciding on a single one. The new plan will allow users to add titles to their queue that they'll never watch and will still give customers helpful recommendations for what else to browse." In addition to the Browse Endlessly plan, Netflix has hinted that it will add up to 1,000 additional movies you've never heard of and TV shows that you kind of want to watch, but not if there's something better on. Side Effects director Steven Soderbergh said, "Netflix's new plan is perfect for the person who heard my movie was pretty good a few years ago and would like to see it, but not enough to actually sit down and watch it." Some Netflix users have already signed up for the new plan.
$8 a month was too much, especially since I was just watching the first 10 minutes of movies before turning them off to go browse more.
The Browse Endlessly plan makes it so easy for my husband and I to never agree on a movie, argue about how we've ruined a perfectly nice night, and then sit in silence.
And responding to other popular viewing habits, Netflix is rolling out the Two Titles plan. For $6 a month, you can just watch Breaking Bad and Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. When we come back, could dolphins be sensing cancer and just not saying anything? We tried and told him. He picked me up, we made me feel so lucky. Seven, he kissed me in his six, we be making love and still the one I told us.
I'm trying to make us free from that, two, still the one. Injection, fellas.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way, when there is no sun to light the way. They told me it was incorrect to say that I died. They said what actually happened is I had a near-death experience and I was protected. And I don't pray to the Son of Man. I pray to the God that the Son of Man prayed to. I pray to the God that created the sun, you dig? I pray to the God that created all the suns, moons, and stars, you heard? I pray to the one that is and always will be, all that is and never was, the solitary, authentic whole in any and all existence, the only proper use of the concept one. And the Creator has a master plan, and Armageddon is ensuing more rapidly, and when I said I don't believe in hell, I was technically correct because I didn't believe it, but now I've seen it, so I have to receive it. In fact, to be accurate, I've seen a few of them, and I'm not talking about hell on earth, and anyone who perpetuates hell on earth will eventually learn that the actual hells wax far, far worse. And if you want to know if you're living right here, I can actually explain it to you simply right here. All you have to do is give and receive love, place nothing above God and your family, recognize you're just a reflection of God's love, so there could be no use for big egos or petty vanity. And celebrities are like meaningless sex because often they're just distractions. And if you believe I've achieved any level of success, then you too should study the laws of attraction. And conversely, when celebrities try to sell our children on self-hate, it's them same laws of attraction that magnetize us to want to smack them. And you can tell them I'm very easy to find online. My tour schedule is always available at TalamAC.com, you heard? But if they approach me and know not God, then their brags about crime best have been true word for me, not word. What if this is God's work is a rhetorical question, and I pray to the God that manifests beyond X, Y, Z, and T axes. I pray to the God that manifests in infinite dimensions, the one that controls descent and ascension, the one that controls darkness and light, the one that controls opaque and translucent. And my frenemies keep telling me not to do it. Don't tell people to pray to the one indivisible God when they've already been taught to pray to Christ. But like the last poet said, time is running out, and our situation is too seriously urgent for any of us to not be teaching right. And if you think I'm teaching wrong, I'm open-minded, and that's your choice. And if you really believe it, you should hit the streets and spread your gospel and your voice. But I don't get to tell people to pray to a man and a ghost. And if my frenemies don't like it, it's okay. Because like Stevie Wonder said, they won't go when I go. In fact, when they go, they probably won't go where I go. Armageddon is not moving slowly. I was created by God to praise God, and men were trained by men to pray to a man, and Armageddon is ensuing more rapidly, and apocalypse is ensuing more rapidly, and cataclysm is ensuing more rapidly, and the sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. When there is no sun to light the way, there is hell to pay. And I wasn't given harmony or melody. I was given symphony with timpani drums. And if he simply comes in peace and love, then we'll essentially become what teachers are of and eventually get to strum a chord that reaches above and leave it to future poets to herald the sum of what each of us was. So what I gotta do? What I gotta say, when I gotta break, where I gotta take, why I gotta prove parlance and cadence to make them all stare at me like Edgar Allan Poe's Raven. They don't even know what I be saying, but they think I'm popular, so they copy what I be saying. And I get it from the source, so I just be obeying, and they could even approach me in my sleep. I can still tell when to stop and when to start, because I can feel when the pressures in their hearts say win. All true fear says lose. All true belief says win. Jinyame, God and fear do not occupy the same space, and living love is the message is our job. And if you've ever felt any twinge of fears, because none of us ever was or ever will be God, but if you're full of fear, go. Just recognize what you've been offered is modern meditation for focus. And when you see me looking at the sky, I'm looking past the sky. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. When there is no sun to light the way, we pull together. Harambe, when there is no sun to light the way, we honor life. Ife, when there is no sun to light the way, there is no day. There is no day. It is so. Ashe.
Logic procreation. I did not invent the wheel. I was the crooked spoke adjacent. While the triple sixers lassos keep angels roped in the basement. I walk the block with a halo and a stick, poking your patience. Y'all catch a 30 second flash visual. Dirty cooperative men platoon. Bloom head trip split ridiculous. Flat on the splicing of first generation. Fuck off what trickle down any hero smack. Crackin'. I paced me game with 0 hour completion. Green slash. Duke of early retirement. Pick a dream. American nightmare hogging the screen. The door open so you can stumble in. If you'd stop following me round the jungle gym. Now it's honor and I spell it with the H I stole from heritage. Merit crunch stole the wretched refuse of my teeming resonance. I promise. Tempest towards breed with a bleeding conscience. See the Creed accent's responsive, but my sports divorce the wattage and I'm sleeping now. Wow. Yeah, the settlers laugh. You won't be laughing when your covered wagons crash. You won't be laughing when the buzzards drag your brother's flags to rags. You won't be laughing when your front lawn's spangled with epitaphs. Won't be laughing. Then I'll hang my boots to rest when I'm impressed. So I triple knot them and forgot them. This origami dream is beautiful, but man, those wings will never leave the ground without a feather and a lottery ticket. Now settle down. All I ever wanted was to pick up on the day, put the pieces back together my way. All I ever wanted was to pick up on the day, put the pieces back together my way. All I ever wanted was to pick up on the day, put the pieces back together my way. All I ever wanted was to pick up on the day, put the pieces back together my way. Yes, with a pulse, shimmy cross the centerfold, and a dead time in gold, divvy crumbs for the better souls, with seven deadly stains, adhere to flame, to crystal conscience, the results of low life, counting on one hand what he's accomplished, okay, link me to activism chain, activate street sweep, plug deteriorating xenophant pen dragon, a hawk spores course for the morbid spreading of mad valley gossip, sick in your Lincoln Lord cabin and Charlie Chaplin wild, could zigzag and zig him again, but a bash gleam sparkled in my brick wall windows, another thick installment of one night in Gotham, without the wretched Houston, we have a problem, attached to the festive batch of city goblins, who split holiday freak on a box cut cinema high road bellow, head grips, watch red bricks turn yellow, sorta similar to most backbones at Camp Icarus, raw fiddly crowds congregating, get pampered for bickering, life's not a bitch, life is a beautiful woman, you only call her a bitch, cause she won't let you get that for yourself, maybe she didn't feel y'all shared any similar interests, nope. Or maybe you're just an asshole who couldn't sweet talk the princess, kiss the speaker wire, Peter pacifism pegging threshold, stomach full of halo kibbles, wingspan cast black upon visuals, hit a duck hunt, ticker tape vision and pick apart the pixels. I got a friend of polar nature and it's all peace, when I seek similar stars but can't sit at the same feet. Metal captain, this cat is asking if I've seen his bitter lost passions, told him yeah but only when I pedal past him. All I ever wanted was to pick up on the day, put the pieces back together my way. All I ever wanted was to pick up on the day, put the pieces back together my way. The day.
This beautiful sunrise was the sight that greeted thousands of people who'd gathered at Stonehenge for the summer solstice. Organisers say around 23,000 revellers attended the Neolithic site in Wiltshire on Sunday morning to watch the sunrise, which took place at 4:52 a.m. The summer solstice is the longest day of the year and is celebrated by thousands of pagans across the world. In the Northern Hemisphere, it usually falls on the 21st of June, but can sometimes be the day before or after. Stonehenge is believed to have been used as an important religious site by early Britons 4,000 years ago, and recent pagan celebrations at the site began in the 20th century. Many of the people who gathered at the site this year were delighted to have witnessed this beautiful sunrise on such a significant day.
Fantastic. Good, yeah. Just caught it between the stones. Brilliant. Couldn't have asked for more, really. Beautiful night. It's been great.
Well, it's the first time I've witnessed it, and I think it's amazing. I think it's pretty amazing. I've never, ever witnessed anything like it.
Pretty spectacular. It's one of the best sunrises that I've seen in a long while.
Next year's summer solstice will occur on the 20th of June, and we're sure revellers will be hoping to be greeted once again by a spectacular sunrise.
Shot, call me not clean logic procreation. I did invent the wheel in a previous generation. But a 666 lassos keep angels roped in the basement. I locate modern halos and pass them out to the pavement. Y'all catch a 30-second flash frame. Dirty cooperative med platoon, bloom head trip, split fantastic. Fathom the splicing of major league low life with anti-hero earthworm mentality. Godzilla, I pace my game for 0 hour completion. Skip reading, still a cretin, even speaking altered moniker. American nightmare lost in the monitor. I hope the door opens. Can stagger through, then set berserker bread junkies in after you. Gutter and I spell it with the G, I stole from get the fuck up. Noise crunched on the wretched refuse of my teeming dumb luck. Still I promise, Tempestuous breed, still bleeding homage. See the freak sucked out the wattage while three bears invade the cottage. And I can't sleep now, yeah, the bully's alive. You won't be laughing when the covered wagons crash. You won't be laughing when you're hosted by the ghost of Christmas past. You won't be laughing when your blow-up doll's got a headache and won't give up the ass. I'ma lay my kicks to rest when I'm impressed. So I staple gun them to my feet. This origami dream is beautiful. Pull the tail, watch the wings flap. But you really can't do a thing with that. All I ever wanted was to pick up on the day. Swallow up the pieces, spit them at your species. Beach to the city of lost barnacles and leeches. Nightlight got me when the daylight met the evening. Nightlight, daylight, nightlight. Jimmy crossed the centerfold and her nightlight engulfed. Just let me keep the crumbs. Seven deadly stains that hit a blamed crystal conscience. The results of deadbeat trying to make a dollar off a bomb threat. Link me to activism chain. Activate wild stop Pluto orbit. Set a course then push the button. I'll swallow spores born by the loss of a morbid glut. Alias, I can spot a duck battalion by the Charlie Chaplin waddle. Zigzag and sick him again before the bacon pull the badge out for the lash out. Another thick installment of One Night in Gotham. Like, then we have a problem. They're buffing the trains the same day the graffiti writers bomb them. Holiday breaks on a box cut cinema hollow bellow. Head grips, watch red bricks turn yellow. I'm trying to meet the wizard, but a tailgating tin man holding a oil camel and a hermit crab breaking his new shell toe. Life's not a bitch. Life is a biatch who keeps the villagers circling a marketplace out searching for the G-spot. Maybe she didn't feel y'all shared any similar interests. Or maybe you're just an asshole. Maybe I'm just an asshole. Kiss the speaker wire. Sammy swashbuckler pegging threshold. Stomach full of diner food. Wingspan cast black upon view. Here to help release the rabid hounds and pick apart your mood. I got this friend of polar nature and it's all peace. When I seek similar stars but can't sit at the same beast. Metal captain, this cat is asking if I seen his middle lost passions. Told him yeah, gave him one last look and smashed him. All I ever wanted was to pick up on the day. Swallow up the pieces, spit him at your species. Reach to the city of lost waterfalls and leeches. Nightlight got me when the daylight met the evening. Nightlight day. Daylight got me when the daylight met the evening.
turns night, turns night, day turns night, turns night, day turns night, turns night, day turns night, turns night, turns night.
I'm Frank McGee with a question. Who killed Robert Kennedy? Who killed Martin Luther King? Were the killers individuals shaped of their own making, isolated, erratic, outside the norm? Or were they shaped of our making, the natural products of an unnatural society? And if this be true, as indeed some argue, then are all of us guilty? Do we live in a violent nation? Is our society sick? There is a kind of melancholy, a depressing symbolism, if you will, in the fact that any human being's first contact with another human being is a blow on the back, the blow he or she receives when, eased or coaxed or torn from the womb, he or she is literally battered into the act of breathing. And there may be also a kind of melancholy in the fact that the first sound the human being utters is not a cry of joy or a shout of triumph, but a scream. A scream to pull into the lungs the first vital breath of alien air. Well, is there an omen in this? Is there a parallel here, however depressing, of the way in which a society is born, in the way in which breath and function are created in a nation? Certainly, with colonial activists performing as midwife or obstetrician, the United States was born in violence, torn from its mother nation, Britain, and pummeled into being by an urge and a need to exist. Few nations, I think we can say no nation, has embraced in less than 200 years of life such an incredible experience of movement and growth and change, such a non-stop infusion of new peoples and new thoughts, new frontiers, such a headlong and often chaotic rush to grow, to accomplish, to achieve, to win. Our question tonight is whether, in the process of all this, whether in the pursuit of plenty and nationhood, we have abandoned or grown to ignore or never really learned that morality which envisioned America as the last great hope. Have we had time to become, or do we care to become, something other than a collection of irresponsible individuals having in common little more than a toleration, if not an endorsement, of violence? After the shooting of Senator Robert Kennedy, these words, uttered by writer-historian Professor Arthur Schlesinger, Jr.
What sort of people are we Americans? And the answer which much of the world is bound to return is that we are today the most frightening people on this planet. The ghastly things we do to our own people, the ghastly things we do to other people, these must at last compel us to look searchingly at ourselves and our society before hatred and violence rushes on to more evil and finally tear our nation apart. Epidemic of murder at home on deranged and solitary individuals separate from the rest of us. For these individuals are plainly weak and suggestible men stamped by our society with a birthright of hatred and a compulsion toward violence. We must recognize, I believe, that the evil is in us, that it springs from some dark, intolerable tension in our history and our institutions. It is almost as if some primal curse had been fixed on our nation. We are a violent people with a violent history, and the instinct for violence has seeped into the bloodstream of our national life.
Some virus in the national bloodstream? Are we trapped in our own history and snared by our own myths? What are the pressures on the American individual? What are the pressures on the American society? Have we, in fact, had too much too soon? Violence, after all, is a means of accomplishing change. The question is whether it will become an acceptable means. And much of the answer lies in whether other means will or will be permitted to work. The basic institutions of this society were structured to accommodate change. In the opinion of many Americans, they are not doing so, or are not doing so with sufficient speed. Still, one of the most pertinent questions we should ask ourselves is whether this is an inherent fault of the institution, or whether the blame lies with the elected leaders and bureaucrats who man the institutions. The answer would determine whether the leaders and bureaucrats should be banned through means that are available, or whether the institutions should be abolished through means that some are advocating. This country was founded on the belief that people could govern themselves. And that was either impudent nonsense that overlooked the quarreling, greedy nature of man that would lead him inevitably to violence and collapse, or a lofty vision that held there were better elements in the nature of men that would permit them to reconcile their differences and live in peace. The question is still before us and the world. Each of our acts moves us a step, large or small, toward one answer or the other.
A gunman killed 9 people at a church in South Carolina. One other person was wounded. Police have called the attack a hate crime and say they're looking for a 21-year-old white man. Many residents gathered in grief near the historic African-American church while authorities condemned the shooting.
It is unfathomable that somebody in today's society would walk into a church
when people are having a prayer meeting and take their lives.
The church says it has one of the largest and oldest black congregations in the South.
Get out of bed, put on your shoes, make some coffee, turn on the news. There's people dying, crying, singing the blues. In every age of the century span, wise men try to understand why sorrow is forever the song of man.
Said new details coming out, and they're terrible. This from the NAACP president in Charleston. She said that the gunman told one of the people inside the church, a woman, that he would allow her to live so she could tell the tale. Listen.
Over a dozen times on last night, it was said that this victim, who was not shot but was there, her life was spared because the shooter said, "I am not going to shoot you. I'm going to let you go because I want you to be able to tell them what happened."
Awful, right?
Hope lives in the hearts of men. Hatred creeps in now and then. I hate to tell you, kid, but it'll never end. Women cry as the men kill. Always have, always will. You know we're never gonna run out of blood to spill.
To kill someone specifically or kill a group of people, that is considered a threat by law enforcement.
Yeah.
It's certainly investigated, and I think police would have found all of his racist rants online and seen his photos and gone, okay, we need to do something about this. But the issue, too, of not reporting it here, I think in society, when we have all these politically correct notions and the microaggressions and we get all up in arms about racism, that isn't actually racism. What we saw earlier this week, that is racism. And it really puts a lot of perspective on other allegations of racism in this country. And I think that people have become numb to real racist statements because we've cried wolf on a lot of other issues when it comes to saying certain things are in fact racist.
Pete, we've seen, though, in the past, we've actually seen red flags fly. I mean, we saw it with the Colorado shooter. We saw it with the Tsarnaev brothers. I mean, we're seeing lots of red flags. So it's easy in hindsight to say, well, should have, could have, would have. But I mean, in this instance, it seems like the flags were flying pretty bright.
The roommate said he was planning an attack for 6+ months. What more do you need?
Yeah.
Hearts break, hearts mend. Pick up the pieces, get up again. The sun comes up and the sun goes down. That's just the way the world goes around.
Think about this. The sanctity of a house of worship was violated as a gunman opened fire at a historically black Emanuel AME church in Charleston, South Carolina. We know now at least nine people are dead. Others, of course, hurt. I don't know how else to describe it. This individual was like a sheep in wolf's clothing. He sat among the congregation for a substantial amount of time before he pulled out a weapon and started firing at people. The thought of people who were in a house of worship being gunned down as they gathered to pray is heart-wrenching, devastating, and is the ultimate act of cowardice and hatred.
Lions kill, rabbits run, men make bread, butter, and guns. Death comes around to visit everyone. Empires crumble and fall from the twin towers to the wailing wall. One thing remains, the terrible beauty of it all.
I also want to thank the Mother Emanuel congregation for their grace and their strength throughout these dark hours. Just a few minutes ago, what all of you saw, what the rest of the nation saw, was the spirit of Charleston. The true spirit of Charleston. And while there may be nine victims, we are one family. Make no mistake about that. As a chief prosecutor, I'm not here to pontificate or to predict. There are many who and will do that for you, I'm sure. As for me and my staff, we will serve. We will serve justice. My mission is to bring justice for this community and especially for the victims in this case, and we will do it efficiently and effectively, and we'll do it behind the scenes so that we can be successful. But my first obligation, my primary obligation, is to these victims' families. They deserve to know the facts first. They deserve to be involved in any conversations regarding the death penalty, but now is not the time to have those conversations with them. They need the time and the space to mourn and to grieve, and we're going to give them that.
Hearts break, hearts mend, the river flows around the bend, the sun comes up and the sun goes down, that's just the way the world goes around.
Any death of this sort is a tragedy. Any shooting involving multiple victims is a tragedy. There is something particularly heartbreaking about a death happening in a place in which we seek solace and we seek peace. In a place of worship. Mother Emmanuel is, in fact, more than a church. This is a place of worship that was founded by African Americans seeking liberty. This is a church that was burned to the ground because its worshipers worked to end slavery. We don't have all the facts, but we do know that, once again, innocent people were killed in part because someone who wanted to inflict harm had no trouble getting their hands on a gun. Now is the time for mourning and for healing. But let's be clear. At some point, we as a country will have to reckon with the fact that this type of mass violence does not happen in other advanced countries. It doesn't happen in other places with this kind of frequency. And it is in our power to do something about it.
Hearts break, hearts mend, hope lives in the hearts of men. The sun comes up and the sun goes down. That's just the way the world goes around. Hearts break, hearts mend, pick up the pieces, get up again. The sun comes up and the sun goes down. That's just the way the world goes around.
A majority of Americans are pointing to Friday's tragedy as a clear call for major reforms in everything, or literally anything at all that might prevent acts of horrifying, senseless violence. According to a recent ONN poll, the nation is united in saying that the key to preventing future tragedies is a drastic change in gun control, mental health care, school security, media coverage, violent entertainment, the fragility of the human condition, and really so many other things we probably haven't even thought of yet. Jesus. The Randolph Center for Public Health and Safety also released a statement saying, quote, "If you look at statistics regarding gun violence in the United States, you'll see the recent shooting is a clear cry for anything at all to please, please be different." In Washington, lawmakers have reached a bipartisan agreement that the U.S. desperately needs tighter firearm restrictions or looser firearm restrictions, or according to a Beltway insider, quote, "Honestly, whatever option just makes these things stop, do that one." President Obama's speech this week on proposed reforms is expected to last 5 straight days and will culminate with a vote on whether or not to call this whole America thing off.
Scientists from Imperial College London have discovered what appear to be red blood cells and collagen fibres in 75 million-year-old fossil fragments. The discovery could be a major step towards better understanding the biology of dinosaurs. It's not the first time soft tissue has been found in fossils, but previous studies have relied on evidence from fossils which are exceptionally well preserved, and unfortunately there aren't too many of those around. The findings could help researchers to uncover the secrets of dinosaur evolution and help us better understand when dinosaurs evolved a warm-blooded, bird-like metabolism. The eight fossils analysed have spent more than a century at the Natural History Museum. The scientists say they still need to do more research to confirm what they're seeing are indeed red blood cells and collagen fibres, and to find out how widespread this sort of soft tissue preservation might be in other dinosaur fossils.
I recall the time they found those fossilised mosquitoes, and before long they were cloning. Now I'm being chased by some irate velociraptors. Well, believe me, this has been one lousy day. Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark. All the dinosaurs are running wild. Someone shut the fence off in the rain. I admit it's kinda eerie, but this proves my chaos theory, and I don't think I'll be coming back again. Oh no! I cannot approve of this attraction, cause getting disemboweled always makes me kinda mad. A huge Tyrannosaurus ate our lawyer. Well, I suppose that proves they're really not all bad. It's frightening in the dark. All the dinosaurs are running wild. Someone let T-Rex out of his pen. I'm afraid those things will harm me, cause they sure don't act like Barney, and they think that I'm their dinner, not their friend. Oh no!
Stand down.
Hey, hey!
What did I just say?
Delta,
I see you. Back up.
This is Peter Rosenthal, head film critic for The Onion. Today I'll be discussing the new film Jurassic World, the fourth installment in the popular science fiction adventure series about the disastrous attempt to create a park of cloned dinosaurs, which, sadly, is rendered all but incoherent by the fact that you can't understand anything that comes out of the dinosaurs' mouths. There's nothing but roars where dialogue that advances the narrative should be, and that ultimately dooms this film. Directed by Colin Trevorrow, Jurassic World brings viewers back to the now fully operational Isla Nublar from the original 1993 film Jurassic Park. It's an awe-inspiring setting full of special effects wizardry, which makes it all the more disappointing when a dinosaur opens its jaws and delivers not a line of dialogue that gives us insight into its motivation or background, but some incoherent reptile noise. Just listen to this Mosasaurus. What a wasted opportunity for the audience to engage with a character and to understand who he is and where he's coming from. And these omissions pervade Jurassic World, ultimately leaving us entirely in the dark about the film's larger story. It's with this in mind that after several dozen careful viewings, I've created my own subtitles for the dinosaurs. These on-screen captions fill in the glaring narrative gaps by letting the film's most important characters truly have a voice for the very first time. Watching this scene, for example, viewers no longer need ask, who is this dinosaur? What does it want from Chris Pratt's park trainer character, Owen Grady? Instead, with my subtitles in place, it's clear that this is the dinosaur Indominus Rex, who is hungry and wishes to eat Grady, but in the end gets lodged in a gate, much to her frustration. In fact, throughout Jurassic World, my subtitles make for a more complete cinematic experience. Whether it's revealing what these velociraptors are looking for, clarifying why this Spinosaurus is running, or cluing us in to what these pteranodons are doing in the air. If I may say so, these subtitles actually transform what could have been just more tired summer blockbuster fare into something far richer and meaningful. As it turns out, my subtitles work just as well improving the viewing experience of the first three Jurassic Park films, which is why I've collected all four films with my dinosaur subtitles and mailed them to Steven Spielberg's production company. He hasn't responded yet, but once he sees how my subtitles unlock the stories he's actually been trying to tell from the very beginning, I know he will. And if there's ever another Jurassic Park movie, maybe all of us can finally enjoy it completely.
Dinosaurs lived a long time ago. They were terrible lizards, don't you know? Some ate plants and some ate meat. Some ate fish and some ate beets. One was called a Diplodocus. One was bigger than your school bus. One was called a Triceratops. Three horns to stop anything it hops. Now, can't you just see yourself walking along, leading your pet Trachodon, or feeding your Brontosaurus Rex, or scratching your Diplodocus neck, or riding on a Stegosaurus back, or swimming in a Brachiosaurus track? Oh, what a time and oh, what fun playing tag with your Iguanodon. And if we had dinosaurs now, could they get along with a horse and a cow? Well, I wish they hadn't have become extinct. Dinosaurs would be nice pets and friends to have around to run outside and play with every day, don't you think?
What are monsters? Scary, unnatural things? Yes, but they're more than that, and we knew that back when we named them. The word monster comes from the same root word as demonstrate and demonstrative. Monere, meaning to teach, to instruct, to warn. Monsters like dinosaurs, and the stories we tell about them have a lot to tell us about ourselves, about the past, and about the future. This Vsauce 1 video is not an ordinary video, it is a dinosaur denary video. Built not just out of me talking, but also world-famous paleontologist and technical advisor to every Jurassic Park film, Jack Horner, and the hilarious Chris Pratt. First things first, scientists have so far broken Earth's history down into 22 periods. The Jurassic period has come and gone, but the one we live in today is called the Quaternary. Jurassic World is the movie that you're in.
Yes.
The thing that we're filming right now, Quaternary World.
Quaternary World.
We are organisms from the Quaternary.
Quaternary Park would be, well, basically like Universal Studios or something.
Exactly. Actually, literally any place on Earth right now.
Dinosaurs. Fossils.
Yeah.
Dinosaur, fossil. Fossil, fossil fuel.
Whoa.
Is it safe to say that our cars run on the ghosts of dinosaurs?
That question sounds mind-blowing, but is it true? Are we really fueling our cars with dinosaur remains? Well, I asked paleontologist Jack Horner, and his answer is worth beginning from the bottom, or rather, from things that come out of bottoms. You'll see what I mean.
Okay, so this, let me guess what this is.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of looks like coal almost.
Well, they are. It's actually a coprolite.
What's a coprolite?
Fossilized dung.
Dung? Oh, so this is plant material that was eaten.
Eaten.
Turned into poop.
Yes.
And then preserved so that I could hold
it
today.
Yes, exactly. That's dinosaur poop.
This is dinosaur poop.
Yes.
It smells like a rock.
Sometimes when we break open some of these things that are, that have a very high concentration of plant material, you actually can smell it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What does it smell like?
Well, rotting wood.
After this long, it still has an odor of rotting.
It can, yes.
So we can probably learn a lot.
We can learn more about the dinosaur from that right there than we can from the bone from its body.
That is amazing.
Because we can determine exactly what it was eating. And we can look at how it's chopped up, so we can tell a lot about exactly how they process their food.
So from the scientific perspective of learning about dinosaurs, poop is not crappy at all.
Yes.
Thanks for laughing at that. Now, at any point would that turn into oil?
No. Oil does not come from dinosaur poop.
Does it come from dinosaurs at all?
It doesn't come from dinosaurs at all. It comes from microorganisms in oceans. If you took all of the dinosaurs that ever lived and squished them up in order to get the oil out of them, we'd probably go through that oil in, a couple of days.
No kidding.
I mean, the microorganisms from the ocean, from the oceans over these millions of years produce, the biomass is just incredible.
Compared to the dinosaurs.
Right.
So there could be a tiny molecule of oil in every 1,000 gallons or more that's from a dinosaur.
No, that's not even going to happen as well. Basically, all of the oil reserves we have are in sedimentary rocks produced in oceans.
So we don't put dinosaur ghosts into our cars. But don't feel lonely. There are actual living dinosaurs with us today. There are dinosaurs still around today. Dinosaurs never went extinct.
What?
Elaborate? All right, fine, I will. So dinosaurs...
Yeah,
dinosaurs are not a species. They're what's called a clade. They're from the clade Dinosauria. And a clade is just some organism and all of its descendants.
Okay.
Okay? Dinosaurs came in all different types, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of these things were called Dinosauria.
Mm-hmm.
And then a huge extinction event happened 65 million years ago.
Yep.
Giant rock hit Earth and like almost all of them, all the ones died except for a few.
And you know what this one was? This little branch? That's what clade means, by the way, branch.
Aardvark.
You know what these are? Aardvark.
No. I do. I know what it was.
What?
Halibut.
Just for the halibut, I will say correct. That's a dumb joke. That's a joke that's been made a bunch.
I never heard it before.
Really?
You just said halibut like hell of it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Classic.
Now figure this trout.
Whoa! Dude.
The answer is birds.
Technically, birds aren't just descended from dinosaurs. They literally are dinosaurs.
Exactly. You know, to determine how things are related to one another, we look at the characteristics that they share. And when you think about birds and the characteristics that we think of as being bird characteristics, they are feathers, hollow bones, the wishbone, you know, you can go on, but those are just a few of them. And it turns out dinosaurs have them as well. So dinosaurs had these characteristics before birds. The hypothesis is that birds are dinosaurs.
The meteor impact that killed off the dinosaurs didn't kill off all of them.
It killed off the what we call the non-avian dinosaurs, and the avian dinosaurs we still have with us.
In Jurassic World, the park's decision makers create dinosaurs that have appearances that bring in tourists, not appearances that are historically accurate. For example, they didn't put feathers on any of their dinosaurs, although it is believed that many dinosaurs had feathers. It's believed that the Velociraptor probably actually looked more like this. And as far as the reality of creating a park like Jurassic World, Horner had this to say.
Everything about it is fictional. We can't bring dinosaurs back by cloning them. If we make dinosaurs, which I hope we are able to do one of these days, it will be retroengineering from a bird. In other words, going backwards from a bird. They're still going to be fictional creatures because they're not going to be historical dinosaurs.
They'll be things we made.
They'll be things we make, that's right.
Why are we so thrilled by the idea of bringing back unextincting non-avian dinosaurs? You know what? That actually brings up an even bigger question.
Why are dinosaurs so fascinating to kids?
Dinosaurs are terrifying, and we love to be scared, but Dracula and ghosts and all this stuff, it's a little not real. Yeah. But dinosaurs, we've got their fossils.
Right.
You know, we've got the fact that, no, these really were on Earth. They really were walking around right here.
Why is it so awesome when they flip out and start killing people?
Watching something flip out and kill people is thrilling. It's morbid curiosity. But the more intense the flip out, the more exciting it is to see the flip undone. To see humans prevail in the end. No matter how beastly and huge dinosaurs were, the fact remains that they went extinct. They are a reminder that sooner or later, the universe will beat everything. A meteor impact, like the one that killed off all the non-avian dinosaurs, will happen again in about the next 100 million years or so, but we might stand a fighting chance. We have technology, and we have the ability to predict and possibly even avoid a similar fate befalling us. Outer space may seem distant and sometimes irrelevant to pressing earthly concerns, but let's not forget what Larry Niven said. The dinosaurs went extinct because they didn't have a space program.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Smile, violently wild. misstep, lack of rhythm, lack of time. Deeds justified merely by the need, seldom laid down law. Bigger, just bigger. Blame it on the sun. Lack of rhythm, lack of time. We're out of tune, and yet we're gone. Now be leaving soon. We were born without a song. We do not belong. Out of tune, and yet we're gone. Now be leaving soon. We were born.
Now, go find the others.com.
All in all, this has been a tough week. But we've seen the character of our country once more. And as president, I'm confident that we have the courage and the resilience and the spirit to overcome these challenges and to go forward as one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much, everybody.